Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. My name is Magla Pillay and I have here in the studio with me today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation as a teacher with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. The topic that we're looking at today is called Double Standards. The purpose of this show is to look at something called conventional morality, to look at where people are at in terms of their inner thinking, their conscience, their own set of values and standards. And the question is who you are working for you right now? And it was with that question in mind, we ask you to join us for this fascinating half an hour where we discuss the subject of double standards with Sister Denise. Sister Denise, a very warm welcome to today's show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Double standards, it's something that we see everywhere. It's omnipresent. Yet there's something in one that causes it to sicken oneself to the stomach. That's how nauseating it is. But yet it's omnipresent. Why is the world so filled with double standards?
To me, the reason is because we look at other people. When you look at other people, you see what's wrong with them. You also don't look at yourself. You become judgmental, and then you start to become prescriptive about it should be like this, it shouldn't be like that, and so on, always trying to correct everyone. Then, okay, you create all these rules and regulations for everybody else, and something happens in which you make a mistake. And then the consequences of your prescriptions start coming back to you, and you say, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me. This is where it starts. So spirituality gets us to not look at other people, gets us to look at the self. And when we become prescriptive towards the self, it's a different thing, because when it comes to the self, people generally like to show how good they are and to hide their weaknesses and their character defects and so on. And if you would instead do that for other people, show how good they are and, you know, hide their character weaknesses as you would do for yourself, then you wouldn't get double standards.
So if one finds oneself in this position where you know that that which you believe or that which you say you believe is very different from that which you are, how do you bridge the gap?
Probably the best way is to really make a commitment not to look at others, but to really turn your attention on the self. And the conventional morality really doesn't like that, because they give you the message that, well, that's being egotistical, that's being selfish, you should always think about others, and so on and so forth. But this is actually a very severe mistake. It's very difficult to convince people of it.
How do you deal with the situation where you see double standards in others, but and their double standards is compromising your ability to do your job effectively, for example?
Well, that happens all the time. Mm. And so you have to come to terms with the fact that the world is not fair, not reasonable, full of these double standards, and so then you have to find a way to navigate through that. And one thing you have to do is not be surprised. We have to be very, very realistic, very, very street smart, and then create a set of principles for yourself and operate by that, bearing in mind that other people will not be operating the way you are, so that at least you're not going to be surprised, and you just have to deal with the realities And the more you are aware of how things work, the less you will be taken off guard.
What creates a person's internal standards? Is it just the human conscience, or do other factors come into play?
Well, there are definitely other factors, because as you grow up as a child, there are external moral authorities who keep on telling you, this is right, this is wrong, in our family we do like this, don't mix with those people. You get taught all of these things in the name of morality, and which may not necessarily be very pure, because there are some morals that are contrary to the principles of human rights, for example. There are some morals, you know, morals, what is morals? Morals is what the ruling class in any society considers is right and wrong, with particular reference to what is convenient for them. And this again creates double standards, because something that is not convenient for you, you make as an infraction someone else, but not for you, you see. So this is where the inequitability comes along. And when you are consulting your conscience, there's a different set of principles altogether. And so you may have some problems there where, you know, you have to conform to a set of principles that is what's going on in the society you live in. And then when it comes to your conscience, you will sometimes justify, well, I'll conform to this even though it's against my conscience, because if I follow my conscience, then I'm going to lose out too much. And you don't calculate in long term. Then in another situation, you'll follow your conscience because you can afford not to conform. And so then it becomes very fuzzy thinking. Mm. And there it's not straight. You see, that's where you start becoming dishonest.
Mm. So Denise, when you speak about double standards, you are talking about hypocrisy, aren't you?
Yes.
Or is hypocrisy something else?
Well, effectively, it's hypocrisy.
Effectively, it's hypocrisy. So, why is it difficult for a hypocrite to say, I'm a hypocrite? It's very difficult to come to that realization. Almost as difficult for an alcoholic to say, after 20 years, I am an alcoholic. Why, what is it that, although we are who we are, makes it so difficult to look inside and think, hold on, there's a huge difference between what I... my walk doesn't match my talk. Why is it so difficult? It's maybe obvious to everybody around him, his hypocrisy, but not himself.
Because the person will be saying, I am a dishonest person and I plan on staying that way, and I plan on getting all of you to accept that dishonesty is okay in me but not in anybody else. You see, it's very difficult to get away with that. Mm. That's why they can't say it, because it becomes too obvious.
And the obviousness would result in?
Well, he has to quit being dishonest.
Okay, so he can redeem himself. There's, like you've shared with us at a different show, nobody can be written off. One has to repair. So where does one begin to put oneself right?
If you have to be a very, very good arguer.
Well, hold on. Arguer of what?
Well, if you are going to confront a person on their hypocrisy...
No, this is about the self, not someone else.
Oh, you wouldn't do it to yourself. It's too painful.
Okay, well, hold on. Are you saying that somebody with double standards is doomed to be like that for the rest of their lives?
Until somebody confronts them, I would say.
Are you saying it's impossible to self-heal?
I think it's unlikely.
How did Shakespeare put it? Physician, heal thyself?
Indeed.
Okay. So, impossible to self-heal.
I don't say impossible, but...
highly improbable.
Improbable, unlikely, because the person who is... behaving in a hypocritical way as justifying it to themselves any time it gets a little near the bone.
Which brings me to my next question. Hand in hand with double standards is justification. What else is in that line? There's more, isn't there? It's double standards, it's hypocrisy.
Create excuses for yourself.
Justification, it's creating excuses.
You say, well, I didn't mean it like that. Mm. Or I didn't mean to do it really. Or it wasn't really that. Or you are putting it in a very harsh way. I'm not really like that, you see. This is why I said you have to be a good arguer, because you have to kind of put the person on such a spot that they have to admit it. You see, and once a person has admitted, there's where they can begin to heal. But they are unlikely to do it by themselves.
Okay, I like the way you put that. You said this is where the person begins to heal. So hypocrisy is an illness of the soul?
You could put it that way.
Okay, and how does one go about healing from one's own dishonesty?
Well, you need your good friends around you who will call you on your hypocrisy.
Oh, Denise, there are so few people who have good friends.
Because
somebody who has double standards is more likely to befriend other people who have also double standards.
Like attract like.
Precisely. So here you are, a lone ranger, without your kimosabi, and you now want to walk the straight path.
Okay. Would a hypocrite want to walk a straight path? I don't think so.
Okay, so somebody inspired him. He listened to your show and he thinks, voila, I want to become a man that I'm proud of. Okay, so now this is my question. How does he begin to heal? Where's the which is the starting point?
To me, either somebody really serious has to confront him, or circumstances have to face him where he can't wriggle out of it. I really don't see any other way. I don't think a hypocrite will say, "Oh, I wake up one morning, oh, you know what, self, I'm a hypocrite." Maybe something
Probably
happens in their
show,
life.
You might. Hello? Anyone resonate with this? Yes. Flush? Seeing the light?
So, I mean, okay. A person might say, well, yeah, everybody's a bit hypocritical, and excuse it that way.
Okay. My question is, how does he put himself right after having got a knock on the head?
Well, he'll need a few knocks on the head.
He had a few knocks. There was a few knocks. He experiences great pain because some people learn through punishment. Okay, and some tragedy occurred in his life, and now he's realized that he's has double standards. How do you come back from that?
You see, if he experiences great pain, this and that and the other, the pain will wear off, and he'll go back to his old ways. This is why the confrontation from someone else needs to be somewhat relentless. You mentioned hypocrite and alcoholic. Now, an alcoholic, something has to happen for that alcoholic to accept and admit, I'm an alcoholic, and then he has to agree to go to treatment. And for an alcoholic, treatment means 30 days detox, 2 years psychotherapy, and spiritual practice for the rest of the life. Otherwise, you can't come out of it. You go back to it. We talk about sanskaras, the habit, the addiction is way more powerful than the person. Sometimes addiction is considered a disease of the will. So I think the hypocrite, to equate a hypocrite and an alcoholic, is quite insightful on your part, and that might be a good way to go. Mm-hmm. No, really. Mm. Because I think a hypocrite has to be, you know, in Hypocrites Anonymous.
Oh, that is so funny.
Well, yeah.
Somebody out there want a business idea, that would be good. Hypocrites Anonymous, yes.
Well, Hypocrites Anonymous have to hold each other and call each other on their hypocrisy, just as alcoholics will get together for their 12-step programs. And unless they do it, you know, religiously and continuously over a very long period of time, they go back.
Okay. He's been confronted. He's had a realization, and now he wants to walk a straight path.
Hypocrites Anonymous.
Fine. What does he do? What is the action that he's got to take? What is the words that he's got to use? What are the thoughts he must have to reduce double standards?
Well, he needs to analyze his actions very, very carefully, because he has to be able to point out, or she has to be able to point out to the self exactly where and when and under what circumstances the hypocritical act occurs, because the person needs to see the patterns, needs to see the triggers. You know, it's a very complex process. And why would you become a hypocrite in the first place, or how does a person become a hypocrite, is because they're raised to be a hypocrite, and they are raised in a society where hypocrisy is normal, where it's considered intelligent, you see. So that means the person doesn't have much reason not to be. An alcoholic has a good reason to want to get cured, because alcoholism results in insanity and death, and along the way you lose everything. So, you know, you have a good reason. But hypocrisy is much more subtle, and you can get away with it pretty much forever, but it doesn't mean it's good.
Mm. What price does a hypocrite pay for being a hypocrite? From what you just said, it seems that a hypocrite is a hypocrite because he gains something from it. I firmly believe that a human being will not return to behavior unless they're being rewarded or appear to be rewarded from it. That's why they return to that behavior. What does he gain from being a hypocrite? Or what does he think he gained? And what is the fallacy in his reasoning?
The definition of an addict is someone who persists in a particular behavior pattern in spite of negative consequences. And I think that the description that we're coming to about a hypocrite, or we can say hypocrisy, probably better than labeling a person a hypocrite, but the behavior of hypocrisy is very similar to the behavior of any other kind of addiction, because what the person will persist in doing that behavior in spite of negative consequences, and the negative consequences would be that they don't have very deep meaningful relationships. They're on their own because they can't.
Okay, I like the way you did that. So, double standards and hypocrisy and superficiality are all part of the same spectrum?
Yes. And that means a person can never be happy.
Okay. So double standards, hypocrisy, superficiality, and lack of real happiness.
Hmm.
Okay. That sounds like...
So it's a very hollow person. It's,
yeah,
it's a very cowardly person. It's a very weak person. And for a person to have to come to terms with the fact that they're dishonest, hollow, weak, and not very interesting, and incapable of loving, that doesn't feel good. You will want to avoid facing that at any cost.
Mm.
Because it is so painful for a person to have to face that, and they may have to face it at some point, maybe when they get ill, maybe when they're about to die, in which case it's kind of way too late. So it's a tragedy. Hypocrisy is a tragedy, but yet in the society we live in, it's considered so okay, so normal, so almost acceptable if you can get away with it.
Yeah. There are many who ask, why is it that you get deeply religious people who who live by double standards, and yet you get people who do not set foot in any religious institution who have very high moral standards and personal standards, personal ethics? That is a question that puts, that many have, and puts a lot of people off religion because of the, you know, somebody is one thing when they're inside their place of worship and something else totally when they're outside.
I think that we need to make a distinction between spirituality and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Every religion has an esoteric component and an exoteric component. The exoteric is the external, the organization, the building, the rituals, the liturgy, the clothing, and all of those things. And there's an expression in France, l'habit ne fait pas le moine, you know, the dressed up as a monk doesn't make you a monk, you know. So the institution of religion is not in and of itself a proof that a person is religious. In religion you have a bunch of beliefs and rituals and processes, and it's a job, you know. And so you can, you know, maybe start off your life very spiritually based, and then somehow it runs out, or your some other sanskaras emerge, and you find that you, you know, you like the comfort that you get from the institution and its support system, but then you're not really like that, so you lead a double life. And there are plenty of people who do that because you can get away with it because it's convenient, but sooner or later something's going to happen that will break your cover.
Mm.
And then you're exposed, then you lose face, then you have to face the music, you see.
Yeah.
But a lot of people feel that, well, I've got away with it so far. It's like bribery, corruption, any of these things. You know, if a person is spiritually weak, then they can be tempted, they can sell their soul, they can be, you know, threatened, they can be this or that, put into, they find themselves in all kinds of traps. And it's rather similar to an addiction, you know, and you just live with denial. That's one of the characteristics of addiction, is there is this denial, and this is why you need a good arguer who can break through that denial and get the person to admit it. And then, okay, now that you've admitted it, this and this and this is what you have to do, because almost you have to have a formal intervention.
Mm. Okay. Well, Sister Denise, I think that we have run out of time today, unfortunately. There you have it, an interesting talk on double standards. I like what Sister Denise shared. There's double standards. There's a link between that, hypocrisy and superficiality, and not being happy. That is, I think the last one is a clear sign of having double standards. People, most people are in search of happiness, and pleasure is not happiness. And the sign, one cannot have happiness if you have double standards. Nice one, very nice one. I hope you learned something today. This program is nothing if not educational. And again, if you find yourself in the position of being somebody who's something on the inside and something else on the outside, then you have some work to do. So I like the way Sister Denise articulated that one can come back from this, but you need to be very determined to do so, and also admit to yourself that you indeed have a problem. If you find this program somewhat painful, no need to suffer any further. Pain can be simply the shell that breaks your understanding. So thank you so much for joining us, Sister Denise. It's wonderful to know that irrespective of what you become, you can heal from that. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for listening. I hope you are able to take this conversation further into your home and into your heart. Good day to you, and we hope to see you again.